Hey, it's Bob Stauffer. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to Oilers Now ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
We are live at a location in Fort Hall, which in about... Now, I would say an hour from now is going to be packed. It is the Edmonton Oilers and the LA Kings game number two, the Stanley Cup playoffs. We will tell you Royal Pizza, Pizza Pass, and so much more. Edmonton owner and operator for over 50 years. If you are a Bob Stauffer hater, blame Royal Pizza. Mike Hanley and Royal Pizza started advertising with me on the Alberta Golden Bears broadcast back in 1997. So it's been 27 years with Royal Pizza. Again, Edmonton owned and operated. They got 14 Edmonton area locations. You can check out their menu at royalpizza.ca where the Stauffer recommendations of Mediterranean chicken. Brendan Escott's back in the 630 Chad Studios. He is a fan of the Texan. Reed Wilkins is coming up next with the face-off show, and he likes the meat lovers. As we are pleased to be joined live in location here by Pierre LeBrun from TSN and The Athletic. He's our Oilers Now headliner today for Wilhauk Beef Jerky. I talked to Trent Wilhauk today. It's the best you've ever tasted. Search for Wilhauk, Wilhauk today. Yes, we've had advertisers. This show's has seven of the advertisers. It's been on 630 Ched now. This is the 15th season on 630 Ched, and seven of the advertisers have been on the show for all 15 seasons.
So two things. I mean, thanks for having me on,
yes,
Bob.
Thanks for coming. It's a pleasure to have you.
First of all, where's the beef jerky?
Where's it?
Okay. That'd be perfect
if
right
Trent,
now.
If Trent
number
is,
two.
If Trent's listening right now, he can. Trent, if you're making, he's actually coming to the game tonight. Number two.
Number two, I'm looking at your notes here for the game, yeah, which are remarkable. I thought you had all that in your head. Because when I talk to you, and we talk about something that happened in 1984, it just comes spewing out of you.
Yeah.
You have an unreal hockey mind in terms of remembering stuff. But now I realize you do need... You know, you need some visual aid during the game.
So to start each series, I would do a heavy book, and then for each game, I would do a little bit of a lighter book. Takes about 2 hours per team.
Yeah,
to do the
impressive.
Heavy. And then I'm so it's funny because I had Kevin on the show on Monday, Kevin Lowe, and I'd been out quite late on Monday night, and as one does.
Now.
Yeah. Well, no, but you know how that works. But my rule is 6 o'clock on a game day, and 9 o'clock on a non-game day. Those are the hours.
Okay. Because,
and that's 6 to 9 window. Is when I do the books.
My first boss in the business 29 years ago when I started said, son, work hard, play hard.
Yes.
Rod
Phillips, who was the Oilers play-by-play voice from 1973 until 2010, so he did basically about a 37-year run there. My first year with the Oilers was in 08 after Daryl Cates, who you met the other day, purchased the team. And Rod looked at me and said, so, Bob, how many losses did the Alberta Golden Bears have last year? And I'm like, Rod, they won the national title, and they lost five games all year. He goes, well, how many did you broadcast? I go, two. And he goes, well, we're going to lose a hell of a lot more than two games this year. he looks at me on the first flight after the first preseason game, and he goes, win or lose, we're going to be in the booze. So there you go. And it is, you know what? John Tortorella joked about this last year, Pierre, about players learning how to play guilty. I mean, it's a privilege. It's a privilege to do what we do and have some fun with it, isn't it?
For sure, but I will tell you that today's player is much more business and less play than the players that we covered when we came in, for sure.
So tell me this. As one of the most, you know, we have Elliot on the show and Frank on the show. Ron McLean does the show. Brian Lott.
Both friends of mine, despite being competitors.
So why would you end up covering, what was it your choice to come out west and come to Edmonton to cover the Oilers? Because some people would say, well, you're one of the lead guys for the Athletic. Why aren't you in Toronto covering the Leafs?
Yeah, it was my choice. And, you know, last year I did stay and cover the Leafs. I'd like to diversify. 2 years ago, I started my playoffs with the Oilers. I did the Battle of Alberta in the second round. And I think the answer is pretty obvious. I was given a choice, and the best player in the world is here, and I think this is a very important spring for the Edmonton Oilers for all kinds of reasons that have been documented. And I said to my editor at The Athletic, that's where I got to be, so that's why I'm here.
He didn't disappoint you in the first game, did he?
Oh, my goodness. And, you know, I said this to someone back home that, you know, obviously people watch him on TV, and but whenever I see him live, it continues to astound me that you understand now why it's not as simple as telling the other team, well, you know, get two guys in and crowd him. Yeah, then he does a spinorama and hits Hyman at the side of the net without even looking. I mean, you can't defend the guy, really, is the story here. You try to contain him, try to limit the damage, and obviously some teams often do. But it takes your breath away, honestly. I can count on my hand how many players have made me feel that way in all the years I've been around the game.
I refer to him as, quote-unquote, Pierre, the most advanced player that has ever lived. We've never seen a guy this fast, this explosive.
With the puck, especially.
With the puck, right? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
What do you think? Is that fair?
I think it is fair, and it's funny because we're just starting to have the conversation, I think, as observers of the game about where Sidney Crosby will end up, you know, in the pantheon. And I think it's deserved in Crosby's case that we start to think about definitely top 10, but now you start to even skirt maybe top 5, in my opinion. But what I'm saying is, once we categorize Sidney and feel comfortable with, and again, he's not done yet, but he's obviously closer to the end, the conversation with Connor McDavid is going to be fascinating.
Yes.
Because, and I don't want to get too ahead of myself. He's only 9 years in.
I know what you're going to say.
He's got a shot at numero uno, in my opinion. But again, lots of hockey left.
Got to win.
Yeah.
And
the
difference between maybe the way it was 20 years ago or 30 years ago and today is there's 32 teams now.
For sure.
I'm going to ask you a real hard question, okay? Cop-out, excuse, or the truth? It's harder to win in Canada.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I think it's true. I think it is true. I think that the hyperbole and the every little detail in every Canadian market, I mean, it's crazy. That they own the Demko news breaks in Vancouver yesterday. It's mass hysteria, as it should be, frankly. You know, Nylander out again for the Leafs today. The drama in Toronto over that. I mean, but I also think that your legacy and what it matters to you as a player, if you can bring the cup back to a Canadian team, hasn't been done since 1993, will cement your legacy, I'll tell you what. And listen, you know, the conversation that Connor is going to be in is going to be with Wayne and Gordy and Mario and that group. And the thing is, when you start going down that list, they've all won cups. Now, I get it. Some of them, you know, in Gordy's case, 16 league, and Bob Orr, sorry, I should have started with him as well. So it is harder to win a cup now in a 32-team league, but no one's asking him to win 5 because I think that's just the math doesn't work with 32 teams.
100%.
However, I do think if he was on air with us right now, he'd be the first one to tell you that he feels he's got to win a cup in his career.
There was something he did the other night, and it's funny. The night the Oilers won the lottery, I got a call from Chris Knobloch, and he said, Stoff, you're going to see stuff 4 or 5 years in, and you're going to go, holy crap, I've never seen him do that before, because that's how relentlessly he works on the craft. Pierre LeBrun is here from The Athletic and TSN. But he did something the other night. He had the 5 assists, and he kept coming. Because there's been games in the regular season, like Wayne Wayne had a little bit of something in him where there were some people that didn't believe in him because he wasn't such a freakish, like Connor has freakish speed. Mm-hmm. And everybody knew how good Connor was, right? And Wayne was this dominant scorer, but there was a subtlety to his like he was a better skater than people gave him credit for.
Also probably the greatest brain ever, Wayne Gretzky.
Greatest brain ever, right?
Yeah.
But Wayne didn't have a problem if he already had 5 or 6 points going for 7 or 8.
Why not?
In my experience with Connor is he has laid off the gas pedal at least in the regular season, and you saw it the other night. He had the 5 assists, and twice he tried to jam it down their throat one more time, and he hasn't done a lot of that.
And I thought they were getting to a 10 spot. At one point in the third period the other night, I thought this is going to be a 10 spot in game one, and it didn't happen for various reasons, but they got looks. Yeah. I mean, that's why it's funny, because people were wondering whether Cam Talbot would be back in net for L.A. Honestly, I only fault him on one goal. The rest is that's a team letdown. Yeah. What a horror show in terms of the Kings' defensive system the other night. They're way better than that defensively, but I'm not putting that at the feet of Cam Talbot.
The other thing that was funny, Pierre, is they did play physically L.A., but you know what? If they actually really want to play physically, other than Andreas Englund, they don't have the capacity to go down the path. Edmonton's sitting there. I mean, Edmonton could throw out Nurse and Desharnais in defense and Carrick with Perry and Kane and say, all right, you guys want to do this? Let's get this BS. Like, L.A. was running around a little bit, but the Kings don't, in terms of that old, I had this conversation with a prominent coach in the league who may be resurfacing shortly in the next 3 weeks. And he said the same thing looking at it.
I won't do that to
not on air, but no, like it's just
but I will tell you that, to your point, that when I've had conversations with other front office people from around the league, let's say about where I live, the Leafs, and their playoff disappointments of the last 6-7 years, teams don't feel like, you know, I'll just say it, like that they're tough enough come playoff time.
And that's
fighting, by the way.
And that's why Trey Living went out.
And I think he's addressed it. But, you know, when the point is that never comes up in my conversations about the Oilers with other teams. Now, I'm not telling you that every single rival front office person I talk to absolutely picks Edmonton to win it. But I'll tell you what, a few do. And they believe the Leafs, that the Oilers are right in that group of 4 or 5 teams that absolutely will end up with it at the end of this year.
Yeah, I totally got what Brad did. And in fact, I got frustrated watching, because I watch all of Bakersfield's games his way, and the Wranglers are the toughest team in the American League, and they physically did push Edmonton's farm team around. Brad has that as a bit of his identity, and you take a look at what Toronto did for all the criticism and Reeves early in the season. Mm-hmm. He suddenly became a folk hero by the end of the year.
Max Domi and so on. I mean, they're a grittier team, but my point is I've never felt that was even a conversation with other teams that wanted to either compliment or criticize the Oilers. That's just not been in part of the conversation.
Right. Well, and part of it is when you have their two best players as dug in as they're dug in.
Right.
Right? Like, they got the third and fourth highest points per game average through the first 50 playoff games in NHL history. What does that tell you?
Well, and I remember 2 years ago, again, LA Edmonton again, but when I was here 2 years ago before the Battle of Alberta year, I mean, the Battle of Alberta one round later, Connor McDavid came out, I think it was in game 2 against LA, and threw his body around with reckless abandon. And I remember everyone in the press box was like, what is going on here? I think he was making a point. Come on, boys. I'm in this. I'm in the fight. Let's go. And the Oilers really didn't look back. I know it went 7, but it set the tone for the Oilers. And then they beat Calgary in the second round. That's a leader, man.
So after Mikey Anderson, if you're an Oiler partisan, you'd say slew-footed him. If you're an LA fan, you'd say he played Leon hard and got him to the ice there. The next morning, we had the little media availability, and Leon came walking, and he had a pair of slippers on. And he looked like an elderly gentleman walking in very gingerly, like he couldn't move quickly. And Jack and me looked at each other, and we're like, and I looked at Leon and kind of gave him that look. And he goes, what? I'll be playing game 7. And I'm like, you can't even walk. He goes, I'll be playing game 7.
Yeah.
And then he went and got, you know, 17 points in 5 playoff games against the Flames. There's a subtle toughness.
He was laboring. I mean, that was gutsy, that whole playoff. I mean, by the time they got to Colorado in the West, I think it was really difficult for him. But all guts.
All right. So you're covering the Oilers. You're obviously keeping an eye on Toronto.
Keeping an eye on everything, trying.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very quickly. I'm a big Kirby Doc guy. You're still doing the work on the Canadiens broadcast and some of that stuff with TSN. Where do you see him optimally? What do you think?
He's such an important player. player for where I think Kent Hughes envisions where this could be. Him getting hurt so early this year was devastating to that front office. I mean, they'll minimize that publicly, but internally, they want to see so badly what he can be in that role. And he had a great opening couple of games before he got hurt. But it would alleviate so much pressure off Nick Suzuki in terms of that 1-2 punch down the middle. You know, they were disappointed Newhook got hurt too. Now, luckily, he got to come back and finish the year, and he finished strong. They're interesting in the way they're trying to turn that over. They don't have generational players to turn it around like the Oilers and the Leafs and Colorado and so on. They're trying to build a team, I think, that if they get to where they want will be more like the Blues in their heyday, the sum of their parts, which can also win. There's different ways
deep
to build teams.
They're deep defense, too. They got a lot.
They have a deep young blue line, yeah.
Who's getting the Ottawa job?
I mean, I will tell you that Steve Staios wants to wait until the end of the first round to see if another candidate or two pops up, but I don't believe that that is decided yet. This is a deep search on his part.
Any surprise in San Jose with David Quinn going?
I was slightly surprised because obviously they all knew what they were in, which is you know, completely turning that roster over and not really trying to win games. But I think I will just tell you this, Bob. My sense is when he would have got that news from GM Mike Greer that he would have been probably as relieved as he was disappointed. I think that was a really tough year for David Quinn.
Yeah. We got to do this again sometime, Pierre.
Be great.
All
Thanks
right.
for having me on, Bob.
Thank you for coming by. That is Pierre LeBrun joining us from TSN. We'll come back with the Stay in Oilers history when we return on Oilers Now.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome back, everybody. Bob Stauffer live in Fort Hall for Contract Equipment Limited. We just had Pierre LeBrun from TSN and The Athletic on. He's our Oilers Now headliner for Wilhauk Beef Jerky. It's the best you've ever tasted. Search for Wilhauk, W-I-L-H-A-U-K today. Brendan Escott is back at the 630 Chad Studios. It will be Cam Talbot starting in goal. No surprise, Stuart Skinner for the Edmonton Oilers. Talbot, during the course of the regular season, went 27-20-6, a 2.48 goals against average, and a .913 save percentage. But he got touched up in game number one as Edmonton scored six goals on 44 shots before the empty netter en route to the 7-4 victory. Let's go to this day in Oilers history. It is presented by New West Travel. Explore Southeast Asia on a chartered river cruise next March. Reach out to newwesttravel.com. Here's Brendan Escott.
1983, the Oilers opened the conference finals with an 8-4 win over Chicago. Jari Kurri scored two shorthanded goals in the game, while the great one tied an NHL record, no surprise, with three assists in one period and scored the game-winning goal.
There you go. Brendan, you're in the big chair tomorrow because the team will be flying in the early afternoon into Los Angeles, and we actually expect to be stuck in traffic for a portion of tomorrow's show. Some of the guests on tomorrow's show, Rob McLean is confirmed from NHL Hockey and Rogers for Century Casino. Edmonton, John Shannon for Legacy Heating and Cooling will join you tomorrow. I'll join you guys late on tomorrow's show, but let's get your thoughts as we head into tonight's matchup between the Edmonton Oilers and the LA Kings, game number two. What has to happen for an Oilers victory, Brendan?
I think they need to come out and just endure what I imagine is going to be a solid push from Los Angeles. And if you don't fold up the tent and you can, you know, maybe not let, if you're going to fall down, don't let it be by more than a couple of goals. And then you should be just fine, because I think we saw a tremendous discrepancy in the overall offensive ability of these two teams. And hey, they look pretty good on the power play too.
Yeah, they did look pretty good. And it kind of looked like they didn't reveal the full Arsenal down the stretch on the power play and then sort of open some things up again. No score until first period between Boston and Toronto later tonight. Vegas up 1-0 in their series despite being badly outshot by Dallas. Take on the Stars in game two. The Oilers and the Kings as well. Special thanks to Angie Quinnell down here in Ice District at Ford Hall. Kellen Kennedy back of the 630 Ched Studios. Reed Wilkins will have the City Ford Face-Off Show from Studio 99 next after a global news weather traffic update with Thomas Dias. I will join you at 7:05 Edmonton time on the Face-Off Show.